think 2020 promotes entrepreneurs. I think this is our moment. I think we haven't had our moment until now because everyone is sitting down and looking at us. We're like on television. And everyone is scrolling and saying, listen, what do you have to offer me? I'm at home. I have nothing to do. What do you got going on? So I think we got to play it safe. We got to play it smart. And we got to just go ahead and market, plan, and promote and push our passion.
Welcome to Expressive Espresso.
Today is about the power of you.
Anytime I'm scared of something, I feel impelled to attack it.
Expressive Espresso is the coffee shop for leaders like you.
If you don't fail, you're not even trying.
Expand your knowledge about personal development.
Anything that starts with I don't want to work is already a problem.
Entrepreneurship.
Invest in things that you understand.
And leadership.
You will change the world. Change the
world. This is Expressive Espresso with Alexis DeAngicoli.
Thank you for tuning in to Expressive Espresso. I'm your host, Alexis DeAngicoli, and I have an amazing guest. I've known her, I have to be honest, since high school. To see her trajectory as far as a businesswoman, as far as a wife, as far as a Black woman has been amazing. So I have the owner of Cup of Cake of Greensboro, Tamika Troxler. Thank you so much for joining us today. My first question is, why baking?
So why bacon? That's a really good question to start with. I think bacon serves a outlet for me. It's therapy. You know, when I get into the kitchen and when I get all my pot, you know, my pans, not really my pots, but my mixing bowls, everything out to prep for baking, it just sends that adrenaline rush through my bones, through my system to say, listen, it's time to bake. I put my music on. I love Chrisette Michelle. I put that on Pandora and I just start baking and it just calms me. And I love to bake for people. That excites me to think, okay, this customer is going to want the strawberry cupcakes today infused, or this customer today, she's going to want that peach cobbler cake. So that really excites me to know that my customers are excited about tasting my product. So I really put a lot of passion into it. So baking is just therapy for me.
Cool, cool. I was just thinking while you were answering that, how can you tell the difference between a customer wanting strawberry compared to somebody wanting peach cobbler? Like, how do you stay in tune with that customer so well?
That's also a good question. The way you stay in tune with your customers is when they reach out to me, the first thing I ask is what is your taste buds like? You know, what is your palate like? What types of fruits do you like? What types of cupcakes do you like? It's so important to understand who you are meeting the need for. It goes beyond just baking. This is now your customer. This can be a potential network partner. This can be a potential friend. So you have to really zone into what is that person's palate like. And a lot of times customers are real shocked. They're like, what? Wait a minute. She really wants to know about what I like. So right there, you just pull them in, you grab them in, and they will remain a lifetime customer. And that's just basically what it is what is their palate like? What do they like to eat? What things are they into? Because a lot of times people are not aware that cupcakes go beyond sweet. It's also savory. So you have some people that might like that maple bacon cupcake. You know, I just want a breakfast cupcake. I want 12 of those to put in my refrigerator. So when I wake up each morning, I can just, you know, get one of those cupcakes that are tended to their breakfast palate. Or I'm going to a yacht party this Saturday. I want the infused cupcakes. So it's really important to know who you are trying to meet that need for.
That's good. I remember asking you for the cupcakes for my cousin's baby shower. I remember experiences that as well. So thank you. That's great. Also learned that from you as well. Just talking to you before the interview, how you suggested what I can post more about on social media. And a lot of gurus tend to tell us, okay, you need to know your customer. But I'm appreciative that you let us know how to know your customer. You know, would you say that's the same way that you post on social media as well?
Absolutely. You got to know your market. I think a lot of people use a IG platform. Facebook, not so much. I think Facebook stories are great to use to market your product because people, it hits the eyes faster. A lot of people don't like to scroll, but they like to swipe. That's what I call it. They like to swipe to the right, but scrolling up, it's just taking too much work. So what I would say is, when I post or when someone that is owning a business want to get more followers, more people's attention, you got to know what need you're meeting as well. If it's the summertime, I would post more like peach cobbler, banana pudding, watermelon, strawberry, lemon, flavors like that, because people are going to have cookouts. They're going to be having birthday parties and no one wants to eat like a real dense cupcake. They're going to want something fruity, light, and flavorful. So I think your audience in the season that you're in is very important as well, especially with the food industry. If you're in the industry of podcasting or fashion or things like that, also the season. What is people are looking for at this time? You know, what is going to catch their attention at that time? And then you just go off of that.
What made you start this company?
I always tell people that, you know, I have two children. I have a son that is going to be turning 11 actually next week. And then I have a daughter, and Cup of Cake is my third baby. You know, that's how I always look at it. I birthed this and it's almost like I carried it for 9 months. And then when I birthed it, I made sure that I held on to it tight, just like I would take care of my children. And what made me a start Cup of Cake was my passion. I knew I had this hidden talent that nobody seen me do and nobody knew of. And actually, my dad, he is a baker as well. So he taught me what I know today. Yes, my dad, David Warren. So I really owe it all to him. But he taught me from when I was 9 how to bake and how to have customer service and how to be an entrepreneur and just how to get your own check. Okay. Also have that passion. So I knew that my passion was baking. I also knew that I came from a family background of entrepreneurs. So I put those two together and birthed Cup of Cake and just prayed about it and really said, listen, God, if this is for me, then you're going to send me every confirmation under the sun. And he definitely did that.
What kind of confirmations were sent to you?
I would take it back as far as when I first started Cup of Cake. 3 years ago, I started with a partner. And, you know, at the time it was well, everything went well, but I would say, and I would suggest that you don't go in business with your friends because, you know, you're taking a really huge risk with that. Because, you know, as friends, we all have different needs. We all have different wants and we have different perceptions and different ideas. And that can get in the way of producing a wonderful business. That confirmation for me, when I broke away from that, a partnership into just a sole proprietor, just the way it moved after that, just the way my marketing skills jumped, just the way my business jumped, I definitely knew that God was in it. He was definitely sending me a sign that I needed to be by myself, push this thing along and, you know, get rid of the fear.
Would you say that was the most challenging transition, or has there been other challenging moments with Cup of Cake?
That was definitely the most challenging part because we were best friends, you know. I mean, to this day, you know, we don't talk, but I wish her well in all her endeavors. But that was very challenging because when you break away from a business, you also have to break away from the friendship normally, because you guys now are having this friendship based on this business, all right? Based on, oh, we broke away because we just couldn't meet eye to eye or we couldn't agree on anything. So that was really, really challenging to do that. I didn't want to do it, but I knew in order for me to grow, I had to cut the weed. So I had to make sure that my grass was going to get greener.
That's a really great answer. And it just reminded me of, do you watch Insecure at all?
I have before. I couldn't quite get into it, but I do like it. I do like it. She's got a lot going on. She's a little spicy, right? She's like, listen, main ingredient for her recipe is add a little spice. So
the reason I asked you that is because right now, Issa and Molly are actually going through a friendship breakup. And I think everybody can really relate to that because we've all been there, especially I feel like as women, I've been there and you definitely have been there. And then you put together your business. So it's really sad seeing them fall apart, but so much growth from that. Well, I know you said that you learned your baking from your father, but what is your earliest memory of baking?
My earliest memory of baking, I always go back to 9 years old because that year I got an Easy Bake Oven. And that Easy Bake Oven took me over the edge. Listen here. I was trying, you know, the baking mix came in these little bitty packs. And I remember these silver little circle pans and how my dad was like sitting there at the table like, okay, this is what you're going to do. And I'm like, but don't we need something else? And I remember asking him, but don't we need something else? But don't we need something else? And he was like, listen, and this is my little scientist. You know, baking and science goes together hand in hand, in my opinion. That was my earliest moment of baking. My dad always came home. He was a manager of Pizza Inn. I always say bacon is pizza as well. So pizzas and pies go definitely hand in hand with bacon. It's definitely bacon. But he always would bring me home like stromboli or, you know, some type of dessert pizza. And I would say, how did you make that? So over the summers, I would hang out with him at Pizza Inn. And I would sit in his office and I said, listen, it's time to go bake those pizzas. And he's like, but I got to do payroll. And he would sit me beside him. And this is like true story. He would sit me beside him and show me how to do payroll. And he'll say, listen, when you get your own business, because you're going to be a business owner, when you get your own business, this is how you're going to do things. And not, and honestly, that winter he quit and began his own business. And that next year he made $250,000 off of janitorial services. Wow. Yes, $250,000. I will never forget that. And that was when I was 9. I never will forget how he was sitting there showing me the payroll and showing me. And I remember those little, it's like some little calculators they had back in the day where the little tape was connected to it. And he was just sitting there calculating it to go, shh, and then you could calculate. Shh. So I just remember his passion, though. Every time customers would come into Pizza Inn, he just had this big smile on his face and he greeted everyone, no matter black, white, Puerto Rican, listen, Asian, Chinese. He didn't care. You were a person to him and he was meeting the need and he was providing you with a service. And that was to put a smile on your face with pizza. And so that's where my baking skills developed with him. Easy Bake Oven, Pizza Inn in the summers. And that's where I got that entrepreneurship background.
You know, that's amazing. And that really reminds me. And in Sip This Hustle, you will see the dedication. I dedicated it to my family, of course, but also my mother and my grandfather. And my grandfather, when I lived in New York, he had a furniture business and he had 3 furniture shops on the same block at one time. And so there were a lot of times where me and my mom would go there on the weekends. And so that entrepreneurship, you know, spirit, I definitely understand that. Well, we all have had epic fails in baking. So I remember mine was in 10th grade with Miss Sproul in home ed class. And Vaniqua, you know her. So we were in that group and one person had one job to do. And it was the salt. And instead of a cup of sugar, she put a cup of salt. And those brownies were terrible. Oh, yeah. So what was your epic fail with baking?
Don't I remember? So I had this big Valentine's Day order and I said $1 per cupcake. I really honestly did not think that it was going to blow up the way it did. But oh my gosh, everybody started ordering. This was my first time really pushing a huge order. And it was my first time, guess what, making homemade buttercream. And I put regular butter instead of unsalted butter. And my bakers know out there, you put unsalted butter to produce your buttercream. And I had regular butter. And oh my gosh, when I tasted that buttercream, it was terrible. It didn't even mix right. And I still piped it. And it had sugar. Like once I started biting it, because I always, you know, you always taste your cupcakes before you, you know, put them out there. But I bit down in the cupcake and every time I bit and chewed, I just tasted the sugar crystals. And I said, oh my gosh, this is an epic fail. So I had to go back to the drawing board. And that's the day that I learned how to do buttercream. So here we are.
That's so funny because you're known for your buttercream. So that's just so funny how an epic fail can you know, turn into what it has. This season of Espressive Espresso, we focus on the pivot. And I think it's important, especially with the coronavirus, COVID-19. A lot of people I have known have made the pivot. So how have you done that for your business?
Definitely with this quarantine, I call it quarantine blessing. The reason why I say the quarantine is a blessing, it's a blessing in disguise, because with everything negative, you find a positive. And so I have made the pivot by doing more virtual baking classes. You know, something that I probably would have never done right off the bat, but as this quarantine has blessed me with the time and the energy to sit down and to think, what do I need to do next? As with most business owners, we all got that, oh my gosh, what's next? You know, oh my goodness, are we going to plop because of this crisis? But I think technology, number one, was on our hand, and social media, you know, they go hand in hand. But what I will say is that I have pivoted to do the virtual online classes. They're going really good, such a huge success, and it's just allowed my business to blossom, allowed people to see what else I can do. I'm a teacher by day, and I always say a baker by night, and so now they're really getting to see, oh, so this is really what she is also passionate about, which is teaching. So
with that pivot, and I know you commute in between the triad, what does being a Greensboro business owner mean to you?
What it means for me, I always say that I'm a city girl instead of a country girl. And my husband, he laughs a lot about that because he's like, well, I'm a country guy. But I always say, well, listen, I'm a city girl because city girls, we're bright light. We like the open view. You know, we like to kind of look at the bigger picture. And Greensboro gives me that. Yeah, it's country, but it's city. You know, yeah, it's small, but it's opportunity. Yeah, it's a little bit, it could be a little bit dim, but man, it has such a lot, you know, it has a lot of light. Greensboro to me speaks opportunity and entrepreneur pride, because here a lot of entrepreneurs have that push that you might not get if you were, you know, let's say if you were in Atlanta and everybody's doing the same thing, you might not get seen, you know, versus Greensboro. If you're doing something that's major, you're going to get seen. People are going to know you more. But then I also think Greensboro provides you humbleness. You know, here's your small city. Yes, it's a lot of people, but it's small enough for people to know you. And it's small enough for people to have that intimacy with you. Business intimacy is so important to have. And what I mean by that is my customers are my family. You know, I think when you get too big for your own britches in bigger cities sometimes, that's just not the same thing, because you got more and more people pulling at you. But Greensboro provides me with that balance. It provides me with the opportunity to reach everyone and to stay in touch with everyone.
Yeah, I have to agree with you wholeheartedly with that, because I've always described Greensboro as a Charlotte Junior. You do have that business intimacy. And I really like that term as well, because I was surprised during my book launch the support that I had. But it does also teach you to be humble, because they are like your family as well. So with that being said, what are the differences between what you provide for your customers compared to your competition, even if that's in Greensboro or within the triad?
The difference with Cup of Cake and other businesses is that you get to reach me. I think that is so huge and so major. What I mean by that is that if it's 11 p.m. at night, and oh my goodness, you know, I just want to talk. You know, I know that I'm your customer, but I just want to talk about something that happened today and I need some advice. Can I really reach you? You know, if I'm too big, can you really be reached? And I think Cup of Cake is, we provide, it's more to it than the cupcake. Yes, I'm providing you with that service, but when you walk away from me, you know, something tells you in the back of your head that, wow, this is really going to be a connection. And I provide each customer with that. And every customer has a different relationship with me. I have some customers that will just say, they'll hit me up 8 o'clock in the morning. Hey, oh my gosh, I need a cake ASAP. And I know it's too late. And I'm like, girl, I'm going to whoop you, but I'm going to do it for you. Right. And then I have those customers. They're right on point. you know, oh, I'm going to order right on time. I'm going to use this method to order it. And they're good. Then I have that customer like, listen, do you have a glass of wine that I could sit with you today? And I just want to vent. And I want a cupcake too. So that's really why I'm coming over. So I think I give that to my customer, that connection. You cannot do that with everyone. You know, yes, you can stop by a bakery and it can make you feel good because you're eating that German chocolate cake. Shout out to Omarosa's because that's one of my favorite bakers. Shout out to them. Oh my gosh, they see my face like every week. But even me being a baker, they reach me with that. They reach me with their cupcake because I'm like, I don't want to bake. So I'm going there and I want to get me a cupcake. But I think the connection that is built. At the end of the day, my customers can say, listen, I know Tamika Troxler on a different level.
I can say I'm one of those customers. I don't reach you last minute, however, but I do stay in touch with you. So I really appreciate that. With that humbleness and people being able to reach you, do you think that it contributes to you leaving a legacy? And do you think that it's important to leave a legacy?
Legacy, I do think that is important with me reaching everyone. It can be sometimes draining. It can, but it also has a lot of benefits with it. And I think legacy is so important because when you're born, the big thing is when you're born, you also, God knows your death date. You know, he's the only one. We don't know that. And I always look at it as it's this line that you're walking. And you're born, you learn to walk. Well, you learn to crawl, you learn to walk. Then you learn to do, you know, multiple things in between. You have a lot of advancements. You have a lot of achievements. Then you get older. And then you're thinking, okay, what is my life really going to be? How do I really want to leave my legacy? And with me, I want to leave that I was loyal. That I want to leave is that everything she did, she had loyalty with it. And she had consistency. And not only that, she was authentic. When I talked to her, it was more than just Tamika the baker. It was more to her than Tamika the teacher, Tamika the mom. I saw Tamika, her. And I think that's important to leave a lasting impact on someone. So when you're gone, they still feel you, you know. And I think that loyalty really zones into that impact being felt. Because when people know that you're loyal, then they're going to rock with you. And they're going to rock with you to the very end.
Without giving up your recipes, do you have a few unique cupcake recipes that you have baked?
I can think of one right now, maple bacon. That one is really fun because it is a vanilla base. So I just use one of my regular vanilla base recipes. And then I put maple syrup inside of the cupcake. And so as it bakes, I do the brown sugar, I do the nutmeg, and the maple syrup. So as it bakes, it just gives that type of pancake taste. So that becomes like the pancake, and then I do the maple bacon buttercream. I actually pour in the maple syrup, and then I take a little bit of the bacon grease, the fat, and pour it in there. And I'm telling you, it gives a wonderful taste. Creamy, and it tastes just like you would be pouring it all over your bacon syrup. And then I crumble the bacon on top with brown sugar on it. So that is really one of my, I think, unique recipes.
What do you have planned in the future of 2020? I was having a conversation with my cousin, and she was telling me that her pastor says that the year that we're at right now, and I hope I'm saying this right, we're not living for that year. What we're living for is the year after and the years after that. With that being said, what do you have, because 2020 is kind of over, but what do you have planned for the years afterwards?
I'm pretty sure that I'm thinking the same as everybody else. You know, when 2020 ball dropped, we were like, woohoo, this is going to be the year of travel, because that was on my list. The year of travel, the year of excellence. You know, everybody was just ready. But the irony, I think, behind that is God had to sit us down. In order for us to be excellent, you have to be set down a little bit and to start thinking and to grasp all your dreams, all your goals, put them together so that you have a plan. So I call 2020 the planning year. I think it's really major that we pay attention to what he has done for us. He's allowing us to plan out for the year next, which is 2021. So my plans moving forward is that to keep planning, to go ahead and write my book, you know, just for women to kind of have a book to pick up. And if they're in like a down mood, they're a business owner and they're like, gosh, today is just not my day. I hit 5,000 yesterday and oh my gosh, I had to spend all that and now I got $5. What do I do? Well, I want that book to be one that they can pick up and kind of get into a good mood. But I think everybody should just push, you know, push on your passion, you know, push the passion, and it's definitely going to pay you the paycheck. I think 2020 promotes entrepreneurs. I think this is our moment. I think we haven't had our moment until now because everyone is sitting down and looking at us. We're like on television. And everyone is scrolling and saying, listen, what do you have to offer me? I'm at home. I have nothing to do. What do you got going on? So I think we got to play it safe. We got to play it smart. And we got to just go ahead and market, plan, and promote and push our passion. Oh, yeah. And then June 5th, I have a launch for Pup of Cupcakes and Treats. And what that is just basically a branch off of Cup of Cake. And I had a lot of customers ask me in the past, you know, do I do cupcakes for puppies? Do I do cupcakes for pets? And I've always said, no, I don't do that. And, you know, during this quarantine, I said, well, guess what? I'm going to do that because now is the time. People are at home with their pets. They love their pets. Listen, pets are like family. Okay. You know, when a pet has a birthday, listen, they need something to eat too. So I said, well, how about this? I'm going to create a cupcake that people can purchase and it's going to be a branch off of Cup of Cake. And that's going to be released on June 5th. And I'm very excited.
The staple question with Espresso. When you're 12 years old, it's a very not trying time, but it's a time where you're figuring out or you're making that final step to, okay, this is who I want to be. Being from Greensboro all your life and the opportunity now that we have as an entrepreneur, what would you tell your 12-year-old self now?
That is so major. And I'm trying to think, you know, I see a lot of myself and my son. He's going to be 11. And so this is pretty cool to think back to. I see a lot of myself in him because he has a lot of drive. And I was the same way at his age. But what I would tell my 12-year-old self is to learn about credit. That has always been on my shoulder as I grew up. Like, wow, no one taught me about money. You know, they taught me about entrepreneurship. They taught me about how to be independent. But with entrepreneurship comes finances. And so I think what my 12-year-old self would do is to go back to the math classes and really pay attention to math and to how you finance, how you budget, what is credit. Last year, I had to reteach myself about credit. I had to reshape my credit. I said, listen, this is going to be my year where I look at my credit. I take $3,000 and I clean it up. And that was me. That was just my personal goal. So that's what I would tell my 12-year-old self is to learn about money. Learn how to use it. Get around people that are, you know, working at banks. Maybe do summer internships that shows your kids, you know, how to budget, you know, how to have their own money. You know, I wish my parents would have taught me that. They did a lot of spoiling. They did a lot of, yeah, you can have your business, but we're going to pay for this too. But I think a lot of independence comes in learning about finances. And you know, as early as 12, I think your kids should learn. I just told Maddox today he had to pay for his haircut. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, right. I said, listen, son, you're going to have to pay for your haircuts in the future. So I'm teaching you now what you need to know for the future. So I think that's it. And then also not to take friendships too strong, like take it lightly. You know, as you're growing up and as you develop, I think we are so built in America to, if you're my friend, I'm going to hold on to you like it is life or death, you know, and we're going to be friends until we're 50 years old. We got to teach our kids that through life, your friends will come and go and growth will happen. You might have that friend that, you know, lasts with you to 50 years old and y'all have been friends since 12. But I think that's what we need to teach them about. And we need to teach them about failure. Failure is going to happen, but the ones who fail need to get right back up. You know, you got to teach them, what are we going to do? We're going to be resilient or are we going to just fall with failure?
Ending this interview, where can the people find you?
people can find me on IG, Instagram, at Cup of Kate Greensboro. Everything is lowercase, Cup of Kate Greensboro. Right there, you will find everything about me as far as baking, your baking needs. And I will be happy, happy, happy to have you as a customer who all are listening. So just follow me at Cup of Kate Greensboro on IG.
Thank you all, and thank you for tuning into that episode with Tamika Troxler, the founder of Cup of Kate of Greensboro. It was an amazing interview, and I just want to give you a few updates as to what the company is doing now. So right now, she is having successful virtual baking classes. Last week, it was baking for preteens, and this week, it's the teen edition. She also teaches to adults as well, and I have thought about going into that, especially since I don't really know too much about baking. I'm confident in cooking, but baking is another story. Also, she plans on finishing her book this year in November, so please make sure to check her out. And as always, thank you for tuning into this episode. Until we meet again, have a great week.